You, Victory Church. How's everybody doing? Liking our wonderful weather in Florida? Thank God. If you need notes, there's a note in your worship guide, but if you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers will get you one. And Pastor Mike's going to bring that little podium over here for me. This is a new series I'm starting called The Life of Victory, and it's going to go right up to, you can just put it down here, thanks, called The Life of Victory. It's going to be three parts, and then it'll segue into Easter, because Easter is the ultimate victory, victory over death. So be thinking about Easter, because there's probably a lot of people that you know that maybe they won't go to church normally, but they might go to church on Easter. So think of who could you invite. And next week, we're going to have some cards for you. Jenny Sanjana designed some beautiful cards, and we're going to have them printed this week. So we're going to have some invitation cards that you can use. Well, they'll be here next Sunday. But be thinking about who you might could invite to the Easter service. So this series, we're going to talk about victory this week. Next week is going to roll on into Palm Sunday, which is a lot about Easter. You're going to see how this series ties into Palm Sunday and Easter. So, The Life of Victory, that's the title of this series. That's the name of our church. Did you notice that? Victory Church? Victory. And it's interesting, because when we were praying about starting this church, I was in traveling ministry and Indian reservations and speaking out in churches, and I just kept feeling this leading of the Holy Spirit to start a church in Gainesville. We took a long time to pray about that and felt confirmation the Lord was saying, yes, now do this. And so I came up with I had a couple of really good names for our church. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly, no, you call it Victory Church. And it's like, that was the mark for our church, is one of the key. We have four things that we're passionate about. They've been in our bulletins forever. And the second one is to teach biblical principles on how to have victory in every area of life. The first one is to win souls, make disciples, because I believe that's the Great Commission. And then the second plank of our mission is to teach biblical principles on how to have victory in every area of life. So we're passionate about that, and our keynote verse for this church, or you might call it our church scripture, is this one right here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It's in your notes. It's also going to be up on the overhead. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And we just got done with a series on freedom, and we talked about the world, how the world works against us, and we have to overcome the world. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Well, what is it? Our faith. But victory. It's talking about victory. So the first thing in your notes there, fill in the blank, is this. Victory implies a battle. And we all like this term victory, but victory implies there had to be some kind of a skirmish. How do you get a victory? There had to be a battle which had a possible outcome that it was not victorious. I mean, think about that. In order for you to get a victory, there had to be some kind of conflict that the outcome was uncertain. Think about it maybe as a game, maybe a softball game, right? You go into the game, you don't know who's going to win. But life is a little different. Some of the outcomes, the consequences of the battles of life are more consequential than the score of a softball game. It can cost us dearly if we don't win these battles. But that idea of victory is really cool, but it also brings with it the concept that there are battles going on. And maybe that's something that's not so exciting, the concept of battles. So victory implies a battle. How many areas of life are there? Because if one of our mandates as a church is to teach biblical principles on how to have victory in every area of life, how many areas can we be struggling in? Because it means to have a victory in every area, then there's battles in every area. Haven't we found that? In pretty much every area of life, there is a battle. You say, why is that? That's the way God decided to create this environment of earth. I believe he didn't want us to be robots. He wanted us to have free will. The only way you can have free will is to actually have something, an alternative to choose, antithetical to God. evil. That's what evil is. That's what sin is. And that's why he allowed Satan to be cast down to the earth, so that we actually had the ability to choose good over evil. There has to be the ability to choose evil. And that's the battle that goes on in every area of our life, is to give in to the world system, the flow of the world, to flow with that and to go that way. There's a battle, and the struggle is, no, to do it God's way. And God's way is never the easy way. It's usually more challenging, but the benefits are much better. And it almost always takes faith to choose God's way over the world's way. It takes determination. It takes guts. It requires us to pull everything up out of our inner being to choose. So there's this battle in what areas of life? Well, spiritual, obviously, right? There's a spiritual battle going on. And every one of us, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. I was telling Jerry that. We were talking on the phone. Jerry and Diane Healy, if you don't know them, Diane passed away. And he was having a hard time a couple days, and I just got to share with him. I said, Jerry, balance it out with thinking about Diane. You're thinking about yourself, and I'm not trying to be hard on you, Jerry, but to get through this, you're going to have to start thinking about, it's normal for us to grieve. Yes. It is normal because that's the way God made us. Yes, you should grieve, but you should not be overwhelmed with the grief. It should not knock you down, because the Bible says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. I said, you've got to balance that out. Think about Diane. What does she look like? What does she feel like? What is she doing? And I just kind of went on along those lines, and he said, oh, can you put that in the memorial service? He said, that really helped me a lot. Yeah, that's what you have to do. You have to think about the reality of the consequences of what this battle is about, of living. There's an eternity at stake. Spiritual, you are a spirit. So, you know, and then he said to me, he says, but I just keep thinking about her body laying there, you know. And I said, that's not her. You said it right. That's her body. That's not her. She is a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in this body. That's not you. This is not me. Because when this ceases to function biologically, me, the real me, is leaving. The real you is going to one day not use this anymore. You won't need this anymore. He will give you an eternal body, a better body, not made out of flesh and blood. But you will still be you. Diane is still Diane. That's not her. And he said, I know that. But see, something you just have to affirm that to be, because the devil comes in with sorrow and grief. And, you know, it's good to be there for people when they go through hard times. Sometimes you don't know what to say. If you don't know what to say, just be there. And the Holy Spirit will just give you things, just love. But that's the reality. There's a spiritual battle. How many areas of life are there for you to get victory? The first one is spiritual. There's a spiritual battle. There's a battle for your soul. And you are a soul. Another area is emotional. There's an emotional battle going on inside of you every day. The devil wants to kill you emotionally. He wants to make you an emotional wreck. He wants to make you an emotional basket case. He does. And if you give in, there's no end to how far he can take you down that road and mess you up. You cannot lose that battle. That is very important. That's your soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those are eternal. All those are eternal. The brain is part of the body, but the mind transcends the brain. The mind, the thoughts, we know that. When Jesus gave the description of the rich man and the beggar, and they died, and they saw each other across the chasm, they recognized each other, they talked, they communicated, they thought about earth, they talked about their mind. Your mind will go with your soul, will go with your spirit. They're going to go together. Those two parts are going to go. There's an emotional battle. You have to get the victory, spiritual victory. You have to get the emotional victory. You can't let the devil push you around emotionally. That's a battle going on. What other? Mentally, that's very closely attached to your emotions. You got to win the battle for your mind. You can't let the devil, he'll tempt you, but don't entertain his thoughts. You got to capture your mind. That's what the Bible says. There's a warfare going on for your mind. What thoughts you're going to entertain. Physically, there's a battle going on. I know we're going to leave this behind, But we're better off if it worked. There is a battle. Jesus healed people all the time. Yeah. Financially, that's a battle. There's battles going on for your finances. Relationships, there's relationship battles. There's the battle at your job, for your career, academically. Go with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. And let's pursue down this road here about victory. I love this passage. God has used this passage of scripture, Joshua 1 through 7 or 8. I actually think we're going to 8. I don't remember now. I think it says 7, but I think we went to 8. but he's used this passage in my life to make a big difference in my life. We all face battles. I had a battle. The fact that I'm standing up here today was a huge victory in my life. It's part of the call of my life. And there was a time when I went to help plant a church in Los Angeles, and I went, I'm support, I'm going to work 40 hours a week in my job. I made a decision, I'm going to take 60% of my salary, give it to the church, and I'm going to work another 40 hours for the church. That was my concept of how to support this church. That's my contribution. And we were standing on the streets of Westwood Village, right next to, on the border of UCLA, and my pastor was speaking, and we'd go there at night because the first-run theaters in Los Angeles were there. Thousands and thousands of people would walk the streets. They'd close it off to vehicular traffic, and he was preaching, and there must have been 200-300 people standing there. They were listening to what he was saying, and I could tell he was losing his voice. And I got a word on the inside of me. I knew, I heard what he was saying, and I knew what to say. I knew, as soon as he gets done, you got the word. And he got done, and he looked at me, you know, there was a few of us standing around, and he just kind of slipped out, and my heart, man, my shirt was going like this. My heart was beating out of my chest, and I couldn't do it. Fear. I was gripped with fear. I couldn't speak. It overwhelmed me. And I was so ashamed when I went home that night. I felt like I let God down. I let my pastor down. Nobody else got up and spoke. The people kind of looked around like, anything else going to happen? Something, you know? And nobody got up. And one by one, they just all walked away. And I went home that night and just fell on my face before God and just was crying before God. I was like, I let you down. But I was afraid. I mean, I could talk one-on-one, but I mean, I got afraid when they took a roll in school. Anybody know? I mean, I just didn't like speaking in public. But here's something, an area where God wanted me to step out. It's part of my calling. Now you can see that. But the devil was winning that battle right there. And this passage of scriptures that we're about to read is what changed my life. And a couple other scriptures that I'm going to show you today. And how did it work? I'm going to show you how putting the word in your mouth can change your life for the better. Joshua 1 says, now it came about after the death of Moses. So you remember Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness. Moses goes up to Mount Pisgah and he dies. And now everybody's still on the other side of the Jordan, the wrong side. They're not in the promised land where they're supposed to be. It's Joshua's job now. He's one of Moses' aides. It's his job now to take the people into the promised land. And God speaks to him. And he says, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. So you know he had a hard time. This is a guy that had no parents. The son of Nun. It's a hard life, man. But God's got to encourage him, right? Well, I don't know what you've been through, but it can't be any worse than that. You had parents. This guy didn't have any parents. He's a son of Nun. Nobody wants him. Nobody's on. God speaks to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise. Cross this. There will always come a period of your life where what you was clung to, what you leaned on, what you used for security is over, and it's time for you to find your feet, your legs, your mouth. Do what God's called you to do. There's always going to be seasons in your life where what you were comfortable in,
Now you've got to step out into a new area. You're in charge, Joshua. I'm giving it to you. And there will always be a Jordan, that which barricades or blocks your progress, that separates you from where you are to where you need to be. The Jordan at this time of the year is impassable, the Bible says. It's a swift, running, muddy river. And he's got millions of people, women and children, and they're going to try to cross this. It's an impossibility. Where you're at today to where you need to go is physically impossible. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take you and I rising up in the power of God to get victory, to cross the Jordan that you're looking at that seems insurmountable and impassable, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Moses is dead. Arise, cross this Jordan, you, all this people, to the land. I like it. If you like to underline your Bible, this would be a good place to underline it or underline in your notes, because this is a very important concept. The land. Everybody in this room has some land. It might be land. It might not be land. It's the concept of some place for you to have victory, to possess something that God has for you, the next step of your journey. Everybody has a land that you need to possess, that there's something between where you are now to where you need to be. And he's going to give you the key on how to get there. The land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. There's something that God has given to you, but you haven't possessed. God gave it to me to speak, but I didn't possess it. If I had just said, well, that's not me, I can't do that, that's not my personality, that's not my gifting, then I would have just shrunk back and never possessed what I needed to possess. And there's something like that in every one of our lives. Just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. Now look at this. No man will be able to stand before you. Don't be afraid of man. No man will be able to stand before you. Yeah, well, it's that person is keeping me from my promised land. No, no man can stop you. No man can stop you. The devil can't stop you. You hook up with God, nothing will be impossible. You'll be able to possess the land that you're supposed to. No man can stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Well, how was he with Moses? Supernatural. What he told him would happen, happened. I will not fail you or forsake you. And now he begins to tell Joshua the key to his success. It's not magic. And there's something that you have to do. You can't do it without God, but God can't do it without you cooperating and doing some of the things that he told him right here. And so here's what he begins to tell him. He says, I'll not fail you or forsake you. In other words, I'm going to do my part. Let me tell you your part. Now here's your part. Be strong. What's the subject of this sentence? You understood. You, Joshua, you. And it's every one of us. That's what he's saying to you. You be strong and courageous. If you're not strong and courageous, you will not possess your land. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Let's take it up a notch here. You say, didn't he hear you the first time? Whenever the Bible repeats something, it's for emphasis. It's to show how very important this is. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law, so at this point, Moses, God used Moses to pen the first five books of the Bible, the Hebrews. The Jewish people call it the Pentateuch, five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So then you got Joshua, right? So Moses is dead, so he had finished writing. He said, this book of the law, that's all he had. We got even more than that. All he had was the first five. Then the Psalms and the Proverbs and the Prophets. And now the New Testament, the letters, the books of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the Gospels, the four Gospels, the epistles, the book of Acts, the book of Romans, Paul's letters, James' letter. We've got even more. That's what he's telling Joshua, take what you got and use it. And he's telling us, take what you got, which is even more, and use it. Put it in your mouth. Okay? The book of the law shall not depart, not from under your pillow, not just in your hand. It's got to become a reality. It can't just be a book that you wave when you're preaching or hit somebody over the head. Hey, you need to get saved. No, it's got to become part of the fabric of your life. It's got to get in your heart so that when the time comes, it can come out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, I know I said this before, but I love to say this. That word meditate in the Hebrew is the same word for ruminate. It's what a cow does. That's how it works. You say, well, is it like transcendental meditation? No, no, it's not that. It's kind of like there was that Buddhist monk that remember he went to the dentist? He was going to have a root canal. He says, I don't want any Novocaine. The dentist said, why? He says, I want a transcendental medication. But it's not that. It's not transcendental meditation. It's not that kind of meditation. It's that word ruminate, which is what a cow picks his grass, and then he sits down, and he brings it up, and he chews it, and that's when it becomes bone, muscle, nerves, tendons, part of his body. If he never ruminates, or you say meditate, if you just read the word and never meditate and break it down to where it becomes part of you, that's what he said. Meditate is, okay, in the morning, you read your scripture, but you got to meditate it. Day, all make it. Oh yeah, The circumstances of life. Yeah, that's what that scripture means. It becomes part of you. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in. For then, you'll make your way prosperous. A lot of you are sitting around waiting for God to make your way prosperous. Here's the key right there. Jesus already did everything He's going to do, on a cross. Now He's saying it's up to you. Then you. We'll make, that's a very interesting concept here, right here. I'm just reading you the Bible. Don't throw nothing at me. I'm just reading the Bible. It's your Bible, right? You will make your way. If you've been talking bad about prosperity, you better watch it, because God said, this is what happens when you meditate on the word. You're going to overcome the adversaries of the circumstances of life, and you're going to become prosperous. That means advancing, increasing. And then you'll have success. Success is arriving at your goal. Prosperity is advancing toward your goal. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. That's what I did. When I knew the Holy Spirit gave me a word to speak, I trembled. I was dismayed. I couldn't do it. He said, don't do it. And how do you overcome it? Put the word in your mouth. That's the way I overcame it. Every day I started going home. After school, between school and work, there was nobody in the house. I'd walk up and down my living room quoting scriptures every day for an hour a day, hour a day, hour a day. You say, you're crazy. Maybe so, but I won. I beat it. After, I don't know, it was 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I overcame. There was still some fear, but the faith was at least bigger than the fear. When I was standing there and I knew I was supposed to speak, the fear was bigger than the faith. But by confessing the word every day, I reached the tipping point where my faith was a little bit bigger than my fear. And I was still afraid. And I decided to go test it. And one Friday night, I got this little old folding chair and I stuck it in the back of my Volkswagen. And I drove down there and all these people, and I set it up under the awning, a Stan's Donut Shop. And I went and I said what I should have said 6 weeks ago. And a few people gathered and a few more people gathered. It didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter what they heard. It mattered what happened on the inside of me. I overcame that which the devil tried to use to destroy me and to keep me from doing. He said, you will make your way prosperous and you will have. You got to do it. God didn't just magically do it. God didn't just magically take away the fear. I had to use my mouth to drive that fear out of my life. You're going to have to use the weapons that God's given you to drive the enemy out of your life to possess your land. Yes, amen. Every one of you has a land to possess. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. So why did God tell him and the people and us to be strong and courageous and not to be afraid? Because you're going to face a lot of challenges. a lot of battles. Life is a series of battles. You know, sometimes we pray like, Lord, just I want to just live this easy life where there's no more battles. No, that's called heaven. Thank God, I'm looking forward to heaven. How many are looking forward to heaven? But that's not earth. No, there's a curse. There's a curse on the earth. And this is where we lay up treasure as we overcome in this life. You're going to have, life is a series of battles. Aren't you glad you came to church today? But I'm just telling you the truth. Otherwise, you won't understand life and you won't understand God and you'll be mad at God. Life is a series of battles, and He rejoices when we learn that we can have the victory over the battles. You have an enemy. That's the difference between here and heaven. There's no enemies in heaven. There's enemies on this earth. So this is in your notes. We each have a promised land. I want you to think about that this week. We each have a promised land. There's something for you to possess, but there's a Jordan flowing between you and it. And the next thing in your notes is we each have giants to conquer. You know what was in the promised land? They were excited about going into the promised land, right? The land flowing with milk and honey. But don't forget, Goliath was over there. And he wasn't the only one. There was giants in the land. There was bears. There was lions. Remember? They faced those lions all over. There was lots of things to conquer. There's giants between. Even after you cross the Jordan, you're not going to float through life on flowery beds of ease. There's going to be giants that you have to face. And you have to conquer those giants. But conquer you must. And conquer you will. I know that about you. I believe that about you. I believe we got a room full of conquerors right here in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. You're going to be a conqueror. That's what Revelation said. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony and loving not their life. We got a room full of conquerors. And then he said, be not dismayed. Why? Because you're going to have lots of opportunities to be dismayed. Anybody ever been dismayed besides me? Good Lord, it's just everything. You can't give in to that. You can't coddle that. You can't feed dismay. You have to fight against it. So why would we be dismayed? Because you get lots of problems. But here's the antidote he gave us. I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. See, it's a closer walk with Jesus. The way you're going to make it is just get closer. Just know that he'll never leave you or forsake you. I wrote this down just this morning. I just felt like the Lord spoke this to me. Fear and a loving father cannot coexist. Think about that. Fear and the concept in your heart of a loving father. If God is a loving father, that concept in your heart and fear cannot coexist side by side at the same time. Here's another key. It's in your notes. What comes out of your mouth? So he said this book of the law. It's all he had, right? Come out of your mouth. So what comes out of your mouth? I want you to think about that this week. This is a journey, right? It's not just a one-time thing. This is even a series. That's why I put some blank lines in your notes so you can get things from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but we can all examine our own lives and think about this. What comes out of your mouth? Words of faith? When the battles of life, when dismay comes upon you, come on, am I the only one that feels dismayed once in a while? Like every day? You know, but you got to learn how to fight this stuff. Question is, what comes out of your mouth? If you start agreeing with the dismay, you got problems. It's going down. It's going downhill. It's going to get harder and harder until you turn things around. So what comes out of your mouth? Words of faith. When the bad report comes, when something comes, what comes out of your mouth? Words of faith, words of hope, words of courage, words of success. I'm gonna beat this thing. We're going to make it. Is that what comes out of your mouth? When your spouse comes and says such and such, I wrecked the car, or we got this bill, or this happened, or so-and-so called, and I got this report. What comes out of your mouth? We're going to make it. Is that what you say? It's all right. It's just a test. We're going to pass this test. Is that what we all do? This is how to have victorious. And I found out it's a decision. Or words of defeat. Do we agree with the circumstance? Do we agree with the enemy? The enemy said, oh, you're going, you ain't going, no, you ain't going to make it, no. Mm-mm. This is it. You wasted your time praying and fasting and giving. And, oh, if you just had all that money back that you gave to God, and you know, you'd be all right. You know, you're not going to make it. You miserable thing, you. I mean, the devil will talk to you. Yeah, he's always talking. He's always talking. And the problem is when we start talking his talk and we start saying to each other what the devil's telling us. Words of defeat. We're not going to make it. Words of failure. Words of doubt. Nothing ever works out for me. I had a guy tell me that yesterday. Oh, my luck. My luck. If it was my luck, I'd tell you what would happen. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You ever remember that show, Hee Haw? It's still on TV. I saw it the other day. I didn't watch it. But Hee Haw. I was a kid. I watched. How many watched Hee Haw when you were a kid? There was this guy. They used to sing this song all the time. It goes along with this. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, come on, help me. Agony on, don't sing it. No, you're not supposed to sing it. Smile, y'all, don't sing. Don't sing that. But that's the way, that was a song in the TV show because everybody could identify with that. And a lot of people, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I agree with that. It's the devil's song, man. The devil made that song. God didn't make, God don't go around gloom, despair. No, oh, for one, for bad. No, that's not God's song. But devil gets you singing it. I got you singing just a minute ago. Well, I'm not the devil, but what's coming out of your mouth? Have you ever said that? Oh, if I drop my toast, it falls butter side down. Nothing ever goes right for me. Everything, oh yeah, that's my, it's all comes into, oh, the next thing. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We have to learn to say what God says. Say something like this. Here's what God says, Jeremiah 29, 11. I know the plans I have for you, not for bad luck. It declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's a different song. That's a different song. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ. How about saying that when the doctor calls or when the mechanic calls and says, I got bad news about your, you know, when you hang up, I can do all things through Christ. You know, it's about our attitude, how we look at it. When, you know, when the economy turns or you lose a customer or something happens, whether you're going to cross this Jordan depends on what comes out of our mouth. How about this, 1 John 4, 4. You're from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Isn't that what he told them? I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you. Or how about this, Psalm 18, 29. And the psalmist is saying, for by you, God, I can run upon a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. That's some pretty bold stuff there. I can run upon it. He said, I can do it. Isn't that what David said when he faced Goliath? Or how about this, 1 John 5, 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I left a blank in your notes because maybe you want to write there, I'm a world overcomer. Make a profession about your faith. Your own self, Proverbs 28, 1. This is another verse that I said thousands and thousands of times. The wicked flee when no man's pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. A bold lion doesn't sit there and look at the people and go, oh, I can't speak. No, he gets up and he roars, right? So right there you might run, I'm bold as a lion. Romans 8, 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And you write in the blank, God's on my side. God's for me. If God's for me, who can be against me? And you say, I'm a winner, not a loser. Scripture is your friend. You need. That's why the Bible's so important to read, to meditate. I went to church for 20 years, but in that environment, I went to the church school. I never had a Bible. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. They gave me a Bible. I used to carry it around like this. I thought it was a handle. They said, that's not, you don't carry it like that. They were talking about the epistles. I thought that was the children of the apostles. I didn't know anything. You need to love your Bible. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 6, at the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand. Well, I'm just waiting for God to help me. Hey, he's given us some things to put on. Full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There's the devil, folks. Our struggle. The struggle is real. We have a struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Is that what you think? Is that what you've been saying? It's that person, it's this, it's that. No, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Y'all know this passage. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith by which you're able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. The helmet of salvation. Now think about that. All these are defensive weapons so far that protect you. Thank God. Thank God he wants to protect you. But the last one's the most important, because without it, you have no offense. The last one, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. Watch out now. The sword of the, that's your only offensive weapon then, is that sword. Very important. Everything's covered. Everything's protected. Thank God. But you're not, wow, that thing's sharp. You're not going to win. You're not going to advance. You're not going to cross that Jordan without. without. You gotta have a little. See, everybody's worried now. The shield didn't bother you, right? The helmet didn't bother you. The shoes, they didn't bother you. But the sword. The sword's got everybody. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. It's the sword. That's what the devil fears, is the sword. You put the sword in your mouth, the devil will get the point. He'll know what you're talking about. You'll win the battle. You need a sword. I won't hit anybody. Look. It's your offensive weapon. Now, the devil sees all the defensive stuff, and it discourages him because he knows he's throwing stuff at you. He throws them darts. Boom. I got the shield's important. Man, you can protect your head. You move that thing around. But it's not much of an offensive weapon. If you got to go on the offense, yesterday, a strange bull got on my property. I don't know where it came from. I was just getting ready to go take a shower and finish my message, and I look out. I see this bull at my back, a great big Brahma bull. I said, where'd he come from? That's not my bull. What are you doing over there? I go, he's mean. He's nasty. It's a crazy bull. I mean, crazy. You can see in his eye. He's crazy. Not like I got a good bull. He's a nice bull. This is a crazy bull. I mean, he's crazy. And I was like, man, I got to get rid of this crazy bull. And so I tried to figure out where he came out and chase him. I figured he's going to go back. And I saw where he got over some palm tree. He had pushed some barbed wire down. I could see where his footprints. And I'm trying to chase him back over there. And I guess it looked better from the other side. He came, but he didn't want to go back. So I'm chasing him. And once in a while, he'd stop and look at me like. I thought, this is going to come down to fisticuffs here. It's going to be me. Me and this bull. And I wish I had a sword. And she, but now I backed him down, and he didn't leave. But I chased him. I chased him through the woods pretty good. He didn't know I could run that fast. But you think about that. It's the same thing in battle. If that bull had come after me, it's nice to have all that protection. Maybe he couldn't have hurt me too bad. But to really get him off, man, if I had this sword, if he had come after me, I need something like this. And that's the way it is with the devil. You need this. Maybe you've just been depending on the defensive stuff. I got the helmet of salvation. I got the breastplate. I'm protected. But it doesn't hurt the devil to keep beating you up, even though you're protected. It's when you get that sword out that he backs off. That's when he backs off. And some of you have been fighting this fight too long because you haven't gone on the offensive. You haven't got him backed off. You haven't got him on the run. You need to get him on the run. You need to get him on the run with the sword. The sword. The sword is the only offensive weapon. It's time to get our swords out. And we need to use our swords every day. And it's time to quit using our swords on other people and ourselves and talking ourselves down. And we're using our sword to kill ourselves. And we need to use it to kill our enemies. Fear, lack, insecurity, debt, pain, weakness, whatever it is, slash it with the word of God. Go after it. Sin, pride, lust, selfishness, laziness, confusion, addictions. I've been struggling with this. Get on the offensive. So many people fight addictions. God, help me. Okay, that's a good start. But when are you going to get on the offensive and drive that thing out of your life? Shame, guilt, inferiority, cowardness, worry, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear of failure. Put your enemies on the run. Rise up, man of God. Rise up, woman of God. Rise up and take the authority in your mouth and start speaking it out against the devil. He's got you on the run. No. Time to turn the tables. Put him on the run. You know what? I know you can do it. I know you're going to do it. And you know what? God's counting on you to take your promised land. It's not for you. It glorifies God to take your promised land. He needs you to take your promised land. He needs you to fulfill that dream. What dream have you let go because the devil's intimidated you? And you need to pick it back up again and fight the fight of faith. Inherit, take possession of your land. Every place the sole of your foot treads, start treading on the devil. Start trampling him down. Start possessing your inheritance. Look at this, Psalm 37:11. But the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Don't give up. Proverbs 15:6. Much wealth is in the house of the righteous, but troubles the income of the wicked. Your last fill in the blank. There is a good land waiting for you. There's a good land waiting for you. Don't let the devil sell you this. Oh, you know, we're supposed to suffer and endure. I understand that. That's an important biblical concept. But the devil wants to tell you that's your lot in life, is just to suffer and never have anything. Let me tell you, there are tons and tons of scriptures about your promised land and your inheritance and what you're supposed to possess. So let's just take a moment right now. Just close your books, close your notes, and just begin to think about your promised land. What is your promised land? What is it that you're supposed to possess? Have you given up too easy? Have you let it go? Have you let the devil intimidate you? Are you on the defensive and just thankful that, you know, you got these defensive weapons, these armor? Thank God for that. But are you still on the defensive and you never took the very last, the most important, the only offensive weapon? The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Get it in your mouth and start speaking it. You know why I'm preaching this to you? Because I've been preaching it to myself for the last few weeks. And God's been preaching it to me and say, hey, man, pick it up. Come on, you know this stuff. Pick it up. It don't matter if you know it. You got to do it. I've known this. I tell you how I conquered that. But you can drop it anytime. You can stop and you can get into pity and you can just get into blaming God and just waiting and glorifying. I'm just waiting. And yeah, we're supposed to wait. I know that. There is patience. I know that. But be patient while you're using your sword. Get on the offensive. And God's just been sharing with me, and I believe that as a church, every one of us, there's things you need to possess. There's things we need to possess as a church. We need to start speaking it out of our mouth. There's things you need to do. They're important to God. It's important that you fulfill your destiny. Why did he create you the way that he created you? You fit into his master plan. You need to be what he created you to be. You need to be all that he created you to be. What he created you to be is bigger than what you can accomplish in your own strength. If your dream is easy, it's not a God dream. It's got to be big. It's got to be bigger than you. Crossing that Jordan, there's no way they could build a bridge or go. No, it took a supernatural move of God to part. He parted the Jordan for the people to go through. God's got to part something. He's got to do something supernatural. And you need to start speaking it now and speaking it now. Speaking into your situation. Speak to your Jordan. Speak to your mountain. That's a crazy verse, Mark 11:23. It's true, though. Jesus said, if you said to a mountain to move from here, that's just ridiculous. I've been thinking about that. I'm sitting in in my room looking, meditating on the word, and I see this great big oak tree. I said, let's just make it real simple. There's no mountains around here. But that's a great big oak tree. That's like God telling me, Bill, if you just said to that great big old live oak right there, move to the other side of the driveway, it would have to obey you and move. That's crazy. What he's saying, nothing's impossible if you just believe. What do you need to move? What's in your way? What do you need to move? You can move it. You got to believe it. You got to say it. What land do you need to possess? What dream do you need to fight for? Lord, we just bring ourselves to you today. We just admit our weakness and our insecurities. And there's so many excuses we make for not possessing the land. But I ask you just to resurrect dreams right now in people's lives. Resurrect some dreams. Bring them back up, Lord God. Bring them back. Don't let people lay those dreams down. Don't let them make excuses. Show us what land we need to possess, what we need to start speaking, what words need to come into our mouth, what scriptures we need to hang on to, what scriptures we need to confess to possess the land. Thank you, Jesus. You have a great plan for everyone in this room because your word says it. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Success. There's success ahead for you, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you. It's this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I think so. Hope so. Not sure. I mean, I'm basically a good person. Does anybody even really know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How does someone get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you got to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life, you surrender your life to Christ, you ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you, makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. Just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to take care of that. Or you might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I prayed that prayer. I did that in the past. But today, I'm really not where I want to be with God. And I want to get back on track with God. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come up forward. I want to just pray for you right where you're at. If either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick. Say, yeah, that's me. I'm making a new start. Thank you. Anybody else? Fresh start. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.